Michael Horn is an international speaker, author, and UFO expert and scientific researcher. He's also the authorized American media representative for the Billy Meyer UFO Contacts. We're going to talk about what that means in a bit. You can visit theyflyblog.com for lots of articles and info from Michael Horn. And good morning, Michael.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, thanks for being here. We kind of based the whole show around the fact that you were going to be here. And we've been talking about UFOs and all kinds of stuff like that all day. So can we kind of jump in? And for anybody who isn't familiar with Billy Meyer and all the things that he's seen and predicted, can you kind of give us a little dummy crash course on his case?
Sure. Pardon me. Billy Meyer is an 83-year-old Swiss man. He has one arm. He lost his arm in a rather brutal bus accident about, 55 years ago or so. He claims that since he was a 5-year-old boy, that he's been meeting with human beings from another star system. Not little gray guys or so-called reptiles or what have you, but human beings just like we are, except they are far more advanced in their technology and in their knowledge, let's just use that word, and that he began to be tutored by one of the members of the race, an elderly man, back in 1942, as I say, when he was five, and that throughout the years, he has maintained face-to-face, voluntary, wide-awake contacts with these people, and that they have not only taken and shown him things on our world and other places in the universe, but they've also given him a vast amount of very specific information and knowledge, especially about things that are scientific, that pertain to the environment, that pertain to events in our world, all sorts of events in our world. And that, to come to the point, the usually unasked question is, well, what's the reason for it? Well, according to this information, the underlying purpose of this is to help us, the people of this world, to survive ourselves, to have a future that will be something positive that we are not and have not for a long time been working towards. Mm-hmm. Underlying this is simply that they say, if nothing else, understand that this universe, that life itself, operates on a number of immutable laws. However you may think life came about and all the rest of it, it operates. And one of the most profound and unavoidable laws is the law of cause and effect. Everything has consequences, good and bad. We know this ourselves if we reflect on it in daily life, and it works on a very macro level as well. Everything in life, from the individual to the collective level on up, creates our future, our next moment, our next day, our lives. And they have been trying in an oblique way, because they are not going to come down and interact with us. They're not here to save us. They're not here to harm us. They're here to give information in this kind of oblique manner into our world for those who want to find out for themselves if it's true. There's nothing to believe. Is it true? What do we do if it is? What does it mean in our lives? So that's part of an overview.
And the other question, of course, I think for a lot of people who we've been talking about on the show earlier on, I kind of divided people into a number of different camps, including people who are space hippies, who I call spippies, and people who are terra firmly against it, the idea that there's nothing out there. But the other thing is, too, is that we have to then, based on what you're saying, make a choice that this information, while they are very similar to us and more and only more advanced than us, that the choices that they've made might not be applicable to us. It is merely just the giving. From what you're telling me, it is the giving of information for us to make informed decisions, and we may decide that even the things that they're offering aren't right for us. I mean, that's kind of the pitch here, correct?
Well, that's well put, because we have free will. And, just as when we're raising a child, when we have a family, we try to educate the child in the things and in the ways that we think are the best way. But we also, if we're fair to the child, we also say, well, you're your own person. You have to learn to be completely self-responsible. And that is part of their message to us. And the profound implications of this type of a thing happening. I should add to what you pointed out about them when you said, you know, well, maybe it's right for them, but not for us. Yeah. But also what we are told in this case, because I separate the information, that which I can prove and anybody could prove, it's nothing special, and that which is speculative, it pertains to the far distant past or the as yet unarrived future, or to the fact that we can't really tangibly put our hands on these people's shoulders and say, hey, are you real? Here's the thing about it. It's said that these people have gone through eons themselves in their very vast history of many of the things that we are now at a, you know, standing at the threshold of. They had ancestors who were kind of Star Wars on steroids, if what they're saying is true, and that they learned the very hard way themselves, as is often the course of evolution.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when we see somebody and we say, ah, you remind me a lot of myself at that age. let me give you some advice here.
And they don't listen. And they don't listen.
And they don't listen.
They don't
and, then,
you.
And then all of the animals in the ocean are vomiting up plastic, right?
You know, yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the solutions that they, because I mean, I'm assuming that you're talking a lot about, well, animals vomiting up plastic and things like that.
Yes, and you know, whenever, let's just go to that overall topic, climate change, you know, global warming and all, and that is a polarizing topic in our world for various reasons. But what we have to look at here is how do we discern whether or not this is really true? Now, in terms of the Meyer case, you know, we'll call it that, the Billy Meyer UFO contacts or contact case, when he's 14 years of age in 1951, this young man, Billy Meyer, publishes a letter, if you will, with the help of one of his school teachers that they send around the world. In that letter, he specifically is warning, because this information has come from his mentors, he's been shown certain things. He's warning about unnatural, man-made climate change, global warming, alternating with ice ages. We have to remember there's hot and then there's cold, there's plus, there's minus. And then he's talking about the damage to the ozone layer. He's talking about the damage that's coming because of tectonic plate imbalances. Now, people can, let's say we have a really, that can't be true, climate change isn't real. Well, just a couple of years ago, I found a very interesting article where the Pentagon put out nine things that they call climate change threat multipliers. Now, I'm not going to sit and read lists to you. I want to get to it because people can read this for free all day long, whatever. So here's the thing. Those nine things, those nine threat multipliers were already published by Billy Meyer in 1951. And everything that he continued to publish with more and more specific information about the climate, well, it's, you know, now even NASA and what's called NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, says the 2010s were the hottest decade in history. Okay, so we can still say can't be true. We can say might be true. What does it mean to us if all of this is so? Well, for decades, literally, this information through this man, Billy Meyer, has been warning us that we are going to have consequences, that the so-called climate change, an overly hot summer or an overly cold winter, isn't the end-all and be-all. We are going to have an increase in the frequency and the intensity of virtually every form of storm, blizzard, tsunami, tornado, hurricane, floods, fires. Long ago, he had predicted that fires were going to be rolling across America in increased numbers. We've seen some of that before, the California fires. There's so many things, and they are specific. They're not Nostradamus, like, you know, one day the bird sits on the perch.
Yeah, the eagle will arrive with the lion upon the throne of blood, and you go, oh, that's so obviously Thatcher taking on the Labor Party.
So are there any specific solutions that have been offered?
Yes, well, there are. And, you know, I've often said this. Again, I'm not going to read the laundry list. I have it all. I'm going to give you an overview just, you know, for the sake of time. But I've often said that a lot of these things don't take an extraterrestrial or, you know, a so-called prophet to tell us to consider. Right? But said, look, you have to become reasonable stewards of your land, your environment, nature. This planet that you live on, it has certain finite capacities. It is not an endless flat plane in space, contrary to the flat Earth perspective. It's a round object, and we all live on it. We are all here on this round thing. And this round thing has cycles. As a matter of fact, it actually has cycles of climate change that are, you know, natural to it. And there are ice ages, there are these things. But they've said, since the, let's say, industrialization and the increasing population of people on the planet, the planet has been imbalanced, and it is now 75% more the fault, if you will. And I know people don't like to hear that word. They're laying it at our feet. They're saying this is 75% now the caused by man-made causes. And they said, look, we understand also you don't want to hear this. If you keep on, you know, on your world as a whole, breeding, and don't consider that your planet has to provide, it has to bring up its food for you. It has, the air is involved in that, your oceans, your rivers and lakes, everything is connected. You just talked about the plastic and the seas. Well, it's not just the plastic. When the Fukushima event happened, within something like 4 days, they told Meyer, here's what it is. It's a meltdown of this particular reactor. The radioactive particles are already detectable over Northern Europe. This will spread through the food chain. Parts of your oceans, which are already dead, will increase that, you know, mass of ocean that is no longer able to really support life. That's increasing. And this is going to have consequences to your world for generations to come. And perhaps even centuries, as did the detonation of nuclear bombs during the Second World War, and all of the testing of these devices have had consequences. You've had leaks at nuclear power plants you don't even know have happened, many hospitals and other facilities with nuclear things. So I asked this guy, I asked Billy in 2011, I said, look, you know, there's a big controversy here. You know, the folks that you, your space hippies, think that there's, you know, free energy is right around the corner. It's going to just drop in on us. And other people who are more meat and potatoes say, well, if we don't use that nuclear power, we're, you know, we won't have it. Well, this is a vast intertwining thing. So I asked Billy, what about free energy? He said, well, that exists, but it's still a long ways off for Earth. There is a solution to a huge portion of your energy that is not polluting, that it would solve so many energy problems, you would be able to rectify all this. I said, well, what is it? He says, it's true deep geothermal energy, not the type where water is injected and everything's contaminated, but a closed loop system, a turbine system and all. So that type of deep geothermal does occur, is being used in certain places. It's not certainly ubiquitous. We would have no longer, we wouldn't be polluting. You know, it's like we wouldn't be shipping oil. So there are so many things. I want to not over talk this, but I can go through different things that we have been told that we need to look at if we would like to preserve our life.
Well, there are two things here. But first of all, let me remind our listeners, we're listening to Michael Horn, by the way. You can find out all about him at www.theyfly.com or www.theyflyblog.com. Michael, I did want to ask you this, because part of what you're kind of laying here in a roundabout way is what you're saying is a lot of the things that have come to pass scientifically prove that what Billy has been talking about, in fact, is the truth, that the evidence of the information that he possessed and was giving out for a long time, the fact that now government associations, government agencies, and government organizations are now releasing study papers and project papers that, in fact, back up this, is in of itself evidence of that. The other thing I want you to dig into when you get a chance is this. Here's the problem, and that a lot of people who are worried about the way climate change is used as a political cudgel, people who are worried about the way that, you know, save the planet, save the earth, save mankind, is they always feel like it comes at the expense of their job, their pocketbook, yep, while somebody else gets very rich off some new technology that they are not allowed to share in, and that their way of life evaporates so that they're living in a utopia with no potential to grow, no potential to live a life that they desire to live. Can you talk about both those things?
Sure can, because this, and this may surprise people. Look, I would say, you know, Billy Meyer's publishing this stuff since 1951. Now, without getting into partisanship and all of that, we have a guy, Al Gore, comes along. He talks about an inconvenient truth, and he's associated with one particular political party. Well, let me just say, this is not political, and there's many things that Al Gore may have said that are absolute bunk. There's things he said that are correct. Now you've got Greta Thunberg comes along. Meyer has, we have a literally 60-page document on my blog where Meyer rips the environmental movement because it is, it has turned into a profit, political, manipulative thing. A young child, in effect, is being used as a pawn. Does it mean that the environment isn't damaged? No, but this is not something that should be used as a cudgel to beat people over the head that way. Let's just say for a moment that we have a severe environmental crisis and that people who see that in a non-partisan way understand that. I mean, you know, the Pentagon saying, I've got to be careful. We have threat multipliers. We can't move our troops without taking this into consideration. Okay, that's not Al Gore and it's not Greta Thunberg. Okay, so how do we look at that? We say, okay, I want facts. And I'm going to tell you right now that no matter what your political, religious, cosmological beliefs or positions are, if you delve into this material, there's something in here to offend everybody. Now, what steps on a lot of people's toes here is these people are clearly saying to us, look, you have to, you keep on, you know, reproducing without, you know, thinking about the consequences. Not only your food and water, a planet has to dispose of waste. You're breeding more and more animals, all this stuff. Well, then people say, uh-oh, these must be space Nazis. They want to wipe everybody out. And they say, well, no, you folks are doing a good enough job in your conflicts and your wars. We understand how it goes. We did it. We're not here to add to that. We'd like to see you come back to having enough, literally, breathing room to live in harmony with yourselves and your families and other people, go through your processes and your evolution. They say, look, there are actual reasonable ways that if people have the will, if they recognize, because right now, forget the government figures, there are over 9-point-something billion people on the planet. It goes up exponentially. Well, that does produce strife. It produces conflict. It leads to situations where people's, and this is, I'm going to go off a little tangentially, but think about this for a minute. In 1948, Meyer gets a document, if you will, from one of these people, the Easter Preserve, a letter from his first teacher. And in that letter, among so many things that are mind-boggling, he says, in the new millennium, there will be a woman in Germany who will not be in her right mind, who will open the floodgates to a rampant and uncontrollable migration problem that will sweep the world. The problem will be that interspersed with people who are genuinely fleeing countries for their lives, there will be economic refugees who simply want to take advantage of other people's progress, criminals and terrorists, and this will be a huge problem. Well, tied into that, in that same document, of course, Meyer is being told the problem will be the exponential increase in world populations and in countries where there is not the level of development, education, sanitation, science and technology, etc. So when a country starts overpopulating, people then start fleeing. They want what somebody else has. This is an instinct. It's not a particularly good or noble thing to act on that because we have a responsibility to our home country, to our land that, you know, where we, our parents, you know, gave birth to us. We must take care of ourselves and be responsible to our fellows, to our citizens, to ourselves. So it isn't that there aren't nice people that want to leave their country and come into another country, but even in the film that we produced in 2006, you know, I sat there and I said, look, illegal immigration leads to strife and to conflict. It polarizes people. It destabilizes whole countries. And here we are 14 years later. We see the effect. We see it in many countries in Europe. We see it in our own country. Yeah. And unfortunately, one other thing, I know I'm going tangentially because I want people to see where all of this also leads. In 1981 and again in 1987, Billy Meier publishes the warning. The United States of America will have two coming terrible civil wars, one following upon the other, and it can't be helped but the country will break up into four or five separate territories.
Okay, so before we're out of time, because we're going to run out of time, and like I said, we could go on for a while. Claire's got a question she wants to dig into.
I kind of want to just circle back to something that you had said. You make it really clear when you talk about, that the creatures, or whatever you want to call them, are not little green men, that they look a lot like us. And I'm kind of curious if you have any theories about why so many people that claim to have had extraterrestrial contact have these similar experiences with, the grays and certain kinds of crafts and medical experiments and all that kind of thing. If that's not the experience of this, the only scientifically proven UFO case of Billy Myers.
Right. I'll give you a crash answer on it. The UFO cover-up and the hysteria about UFOs and aliens started around the time of the Roswell crash, which was a real event. The beings that were found at that crash were androids. They looked like this, what we now call the grays. It was a decision in the Roosevelt administration, if anybody remembers that or knows of it, to demonize the existence of other beings because it threatens all control structures on Earth. If you can say there's some kind of beings, we can't control them, we don't know, it destabilizes, people go nuts, as we know from the reading of War of the Worlds, which was a first radio broadcast, and it was done at the behest of the United States Intelligence Services, commanding Orson Welles, an actor at the time, and H.G. Wells, not related, the author, to produce this thing so that they could start the disinformation. The grays don't exist as extraterrestrial beings. They don't even exist anymore. These were androids. And the whole disinformation thing, unfortunately, the biggest enemy of the truth here is the UFO community, with all the people now who, through mass hysteria and secret military things, I know a guy from the Air Force told me how we could go into a little village and we pump gas into the house. People will wake up with whatever kind of ideas we want to implant in their heads. There's a level of mass hysteria about that. There are plenty of sightings of craft. They are mainly, but not exclusively, secret military. And all the stuff that's come out now from the Navy and the Pentagon is to get people to follow little tic-tac things and get the conversation going elsewhere. The real UFO contact has solely been about this man's ongoing contacts, which take place to this day. And I invite people not only to check that out, but I'm going to make an insane announcement. Anybody that wants to get there's tons of free info, but if you want one of my films, you want to download, they're really expensive. If you order a download of any one single film, I'll give you another film free. All you do is please mention our lovely hosts or this show, and I will do that. And I will be busy, I think, for a long time if people want that. But by the time you're done with this, you may have a little more insight into the truth about UFOs.
By the way, just to make sure we're clear about that, if they go to www.theyfly.com, they'll be able to find that information?
Or if they go to TheyFly, there's my shop is there, and then TheyFly blog has a link to it. Again, I have almost 1,200 free articles. We have tons and tons of free stuff so people can check out the science. I answer all my emails. I know this is setting me up for a little bit of work. And again, you download or buy one product, you get a second one free. And there it is. That's as good as I can give it, short of giving it all away, because I want people to come to the blog and the website. We are giving this away because we're in a critical place. And what's coming, there will be specific volcanic eruptions based in Italy and other. We have a ton of specific warnings and things.
Michael Horn, thank you so very much. It was an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Guys, check it out. www.theyfly.com. We'll be right back.